Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor, welcoming you out for a fantastic show for you, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so stinking hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you. For those of you that want to work because you want to, not because you have to, because you have all the cash flow, the time, the freedom to be able to do what you want, when you want, with those that you love. And the coolest part about this is that as a Rippler, you're about blessing others' lives, because it's not just about liberating yourself, but as you do so, as you become more and more financially free, you're able to serve more and more people at a greater capacity, creating greater impact and greater difference in the world today. And that's why I'm proud to call you guys Ripplers. So impressed with many of you that have reached out to me lately. I appreciate the bravery and the courage it takes for some of you to do that, because I had somebody just yesterday say, "Yeah, Chris, I figured I would take you up on that offer. I finally just decided I'm going to reach out and just try it out." And the funny thing, she was just asking me about my event. But as we got talking and understanding her situation, found out I could actually help her and increase her cash flow by at least this year alone, the passive income by at least $1,000 a month, and maybe more depending on what happens. So anyways, I mean, I appreciate, you know, that those of you that have been tuning in, you've been listening, you've been implementing, you've been sharing. Thank you so much, because you allow me to create that ripple effect, and I really feel like I can fulfill my mission, kind of my own God-given mission that I can do through you guys. So thank you so much. Now, today's show, you know, I want to, you know, talk about something that, I'll say it this way, like as a financial advisor, I didn't get this. Okay. For 4 years, I taught about money, supposed to be the expert. And then I remember going to just one little seminar. In fact, it was a seminar I went to that was put on by some entrepreneurs and business and real estate investors. And they were kind of shooting holes in the whole financial planning stuff, right? And as they did this, they showed me something that kind of blew my mind, and it made perfect sense. Like, I could not argue it, because it was completely 100% right and logical. But, you know, it was something that just kind of blew my mind a little bit because of my perspective and how I was taught and trained. And I know that most of you have been taught and trained this way as well. And so that's why I wanted to bring this up. So, I mean, I want to talk about, you know, really like, how can debt work in your favor, right? When can debt be good? And this is something that I know is totally taboo, and I'm falling right on the back of doing a Dave Ramsey episode. So I figured this was fitting, because there is a lot of understanding that if you understand this, and I know my own clients, they can learn from this too. Some of them have already had to learn this to get it, but this is something that's absolutely essential. And so now I'm going to preface by saying this: I am not a fan. I am not in favor of excessive consumer debt, really just going to debt for, you know, for consumer type things, right? If I'm going to use debt, I want it to be productive debt. There's a big difference. Consumer debt is usually when you're just trying to fulfill a lifestyle, fulfill a void, whatever it might be. Insert that type of excuse or reason, right? But we're not about trying to do that. This is something that's really about, how do we actually leverage debt in a good way? In a way that's definitely, it could actually work much more to your advantage than not. So I'm going to take two scenarios, and you have to understand that there's two things to really look at here. There's cash flow and there's net worth. Now, cash flow, with my definition, for those of you that are not sure, because many people will mix up this term with all kinds of things. A lot of people will say cash flow because they mean income. And I don't mean that. I mean, what's the difference between your income and your expenses? In the business world, that'd be called profit. I call it cash flow, because that works both in the business as well as it works in personal life. What's the difference between your income and your expenses? The bigger the difference, the better. Cash flow should be the primary focus. That is the main determinant here. While most people, most of the world, tell you that net worth is the key to focus on, because you want to be a net worth millionaire or whatever it might be, right? And so they're telling you to do this thing based on net worth. But I will tell you from experience, net worth is worthless if it isn't turned into cash flow. Net worth is purely just potential. That's all it is. It's just resource. But for most people, especially those that I meet with, when they have even some of those that have bigger net worth, a lot of times it's trapped in places they can't get to. A lot of times it's trapped in IRAs and 401ks. So that net worth doesn't even feel like net worth, right? It might be trapped in equity and properties and things like that, which could be accessible, but it's not. It's not like something you can just go, you know, cash out, right? It's not like savings, which I really believe is a very, very important thing, is to have liquidity, to have money accessible, right? But net worth really doesn't do squat for you. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had people that I've said, at, you know, as we have a little introduction call and we're talking about their situation to see if they're a good fit to work with me, I'll say, wow, you're asset rich and cash poor, you know? And they'll say, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm making almost no cash flow or very little cash flow compared to my net worth. And so that's what I really want to focus on, because if we're going to focus on net worth from the traditional standpoint, well, let's go there. Let's talk about net worth and talk about cash flow, right? So I want you guys to do something. Now, if you're conceptual, you'll probably be able to do this in your head. If you're more of a pull out and write on, draw it on paper and that kind of thing, then great. Now, if you're driving, don't pull out the paper yet. Just listen to the concept first. And then when you go home, listen to this again and then draw this out. If you have paper readily available, use it. So I'm going to have you do something here. And I would take if you take a piece of paper, I would turn it probably sideways, right? More landscape, right? I would turn it more that way, just so you can have a left and right side you can use. And within the left and right side, on both of those sides, so you might even draw a line right down the middle of the paper. And then on either side, on the left and the right side, I would also draw like a little, like a big T in each of those sides, right? Now the T there, you're going to put on the left-hand side on the top, you'll put A for assets. And then on the right-hand side, you'll put L for liabilities. And you'll do that on both sides of the paper. So you basically have this T with an A and an L on the top of it, right? Now, this could be kind of like a person A, person B type scenario. So the one on the right, or the one on the left is person A. The one on the right is person B. Person A is kind of the person that's typical, right? The typical person that's doing the normal thing that you've always been taught. While the person on the right probably gets advice from me. This person A, you know, they've got a home. And so under the A column, under the A side on this left-hand side of your paper, under A, write $500,000. And we're just going to go with the home itself, right? The value of the home. So $500,000 on the left, on that first A. On the, just to the right of that, on the L, put $200,000. So really what this means, assets are basically things that you own, while liabilities are things that you owe, right? Now I'm overly simplifying this. There's going to be some accountant that will totally disagree with me here. So own versus owe, right? You know, debts usually fall into the liability category, things that you owe money on, not so much expenses, but definitely the loans that we're putting on here. So we have a $500,000 home that you have a mortgage on it for $200,000. Now, for some of you, this might describe you to a T or pretty darn close, right? I know there's several of you have reached out that this is a very common scenario, especially as we've seen home prices appreciate. Now you're starting to see there's equity built in your home. Unlike during the recession where it was like reverse equity, we didn't have equity and that's it. By the way, equity and debt are not the same thing. In fact, they are opposite of each other. Now, assets and liabilities. So liabilities, most people will call this debt, right? They'll call loans debt. I do not call this debt. If we're going with a technical definition here, debt is negative equity. It's in opposition. If you really look at it from a real financial statement, real finances, not the stuff that's taught to you through salespeople in suits, right? But real things here, negative equity is debt. So for example, let's just going away from these numbers for a second. Say you have a car that you owe $20,000 on a loan, as a loan, but the car's worth $25,000. So now it's worth $5,000 more than what you owe. You'd have $5,000 of what? Equity, right? Now flip it around. What if you owe $20,000, but it's only worth $15,000? You're upside down in it, right? Now, how much debt do you have? Now, the majority of the world that would just say $20,000, but that's not true. it's negative equity. It's how much you're upside down. The debt is actually only $5,000, right? But you are in debt. So you're in debt. It's negative equity. So if you owed you owed $20,000, it's only worth $15,000. You're $5,000 upside down in it. You have $5,000 of debt. Now, here's the thing that you have to understand is if you think about it, people would say, no, I have $20,000 of debt. That's exactly what Dave Ramsey told me. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Could you sell off that car? Well, yeah, but I'm upside down. Right. Well, how much do you have to come out of pocket? $5,000. Right. And if you paid that off, if you had $5,000 in cash and you paid it off, would you have any debt? No, you'd be debt free. Right. So that's the thing. If you can sell off all your assets and have money left over after paying off all your loans, you do not have any debt. You are technically debt free. You understand this? You are technically debt free. And that's the thing I always think is kind of funny is that people say like, well, I'm not debt free. I'm trying to get debt free. Okay, well, you have positive net worth. Why not just sell off your stuff? Sell it all off. Start renting a house. Well, I want to own a house. Well, you don't really own a house anyways. You already talked about that about last month about tax liens, or even recently, tax liens. And then I talked about it in another podcast episode we did. You know, you don't really have, you don't really own anything really. You come with nothing, you die with nothing. Everything in between is stewardship, right? But for the sake, yeah, okay, yeah, you don't own a house, but you're still paying a payment. You still rent, but at least you have any debt. So if debt's really that evil, get rid of it all. Get rid of the house, get rid of all your assets, everything that you need to be able to be debt-free. If you're really going to follow that advice, go for it. Go all the way. Don't just be like, yeah, well, debt's okay a little bit. Well, no, if you guys keep preaching it's bad, well, get rid of it all. It must be evil. Get rid of that evil out of your life. The truth is that it's not true debt. You have liabilities. Yes. Do they have payments associated to them? Yes. And we want those payments as low as possible as a little bonus there. I go for lower possible payments, not higher. That's why I don't recommend people do like 10 or 15 year mortgages. We usually try to push it out for 30 and then have the option to pay more if you choose. That's the cool thing. You are technically debt-free if you have positive net worth. If you could pay off your debt at any time, you're in a great place. You have options. You have choice and freedom. Does that make sense? So coming back to this example, this person on the left side, $500,000 home, that's an asset. They owe $200,000, that's a liability. Now do the same thing on the other side. Go ahead and put $500,000 on that right hand, you know, T as well. $500,000 other assets. Now what we're going to do is we'll do like what I do with a lot of my clients. We're actually going to say, let's do a cash out refinance. We'll do up to 80% here, which is $400,000. So in this category, we're going to pull out money from your house. So we're going to pull out another $200,000. So your liability is not $200,000. You're going to put $400,000. So you're going to put $400,000 here. Now you've got $200,000 more of debt, as people would say, right? But in truth, it's not. It's $200,000 more of liability. Now I want you to think about this. Now in the asset column, you've got $200,000. So go ahead and add another $200,000 below the $500,000. Because obviously you got the $200,000 of cash out of your house. Now I want you to look at both left and right person, A and B here, right? What's the net worth of the person on the left? Well, $500,000 minus $200,000, you know, assets minus liabilities gives you your net worth. So $500,000 minus $200,000 is $300,000. Now look on the one on the right. Now remember, you have the $500,000 house plus the $200,000 in cash, that's $700,000, minus $400,000 liability. What's your net worth? It's still $300,000. It's the same exact thing. Now, there is a difference. I did a little calculation here on the mortgage payment based on someone who had a $200,000 left on their home, maybe 26 years left to pay on it. You know, they've maybe refinanced the last 3 or 4 years. The payment difference between the two mortgages, between having that bigger one on the right-hand side versus the smaller one, is about $850 more a month for the person on the right. So here's the truth. On a cash flow statement, they would be losing about $850 a month. So our goal is with that $200,000 to make more than $850 a month. Believe it or not, it's actually not hard. It's actually pretty easy. Some of you that already know this, you're already doing it. You're like, duh, this is easy. Now I will take a time out here for a second before we just invest it. You know, sometimes I'll have people freak out because I'll have them cash out money from their home, not necessarily just to invest, but also maybe to consolidate some of their loans, certain loans. You know, I'll be very specific about which loans to do and which ones not to include, but we'll pay off certain loans. You know, this is how with one of my clients, we just freed up another, you know, $1,300 a month was doing that, was refinancing. We actually paid off their home equity line of credit because that was a high payment anyways, and we had to for the refinance. And we also paid off a few credit cards. So it freed up about $1,300 a month net. Now, the cool thing is the payment was almost exactly the same as what they already had. So there's almost no increase on the mortgage payment, but we still got cash out that paid off some stuff. In that kind of case, I always tell people, they're like, yeah, but I just went, you're not really paying off debt, Chris. You're just going more into debt. Well, let's look at the balance sheet. Oh, look, your liabilities are still the same balance. Yes, we did move money around, but here's the key factor. You move that money around, but you just freed up $1,300 a month. Well, guess where that money goes? Well, usually, you know, if we did it right, it's going back to the asset column, right? Now it's going to build up savings to then go and invest. So now you're building $1,300 a month. Guess how long it's going to take for you to actually beat the net worth on the other side? No time at all. And here's the thing, in a real life situation, real life, the cool thing is like, yeah, now we've got time to, we've got flexibility. So if something happens to your income or there's an unexpected expense, guess what? You've got this $1,300 a month buffer you didn't have before. That puts you in a safer, less risky position. Versus someone who's like, oh, I'm trying to aggressively pay off everything and take the highest payments possible. I'm doing a 10 or 15 year mortgage. And what happens when crap hits the fan or life throws you a curve? All of a sudden now you're in trouble because you committed yourselves these high payments. We want lower payments, but yeah, we want it. Let's be honest. I mean, you consolidate for certain loans anyways. You're probably going to save money on interest and you're going to save on cash flow, right? But even if you didn't save on interest, the fact is if you can save on cash flow, that's still good, because that puts you in a safer place. By the way, if you're not ever sure about that, ask the bank the next time you try to go in for a loan and you have all these high payments required of you, and they say your debt to income ratio is too high and they will not give you a loan regardless of your credit score. Why do they do that? Because again, they don't want you to be risky. Otherwise, you're too risky for them to invest in. If you think more like a bank, you'll start to realize a lot of the things that you've been taught actually aren't that smart. They're not very wise. Do shorter terms on your loans so you pay them off faster. No, you just put yourself at higher risk. You have to wait for, you have to hope for the perfect life scenario to ensure that money just keeps coming in. It's stupid. It's really bad. So anyways, we're coming back to this net worth thing, right? So if you notice, the net worth is same on both sides, you know, when you have that $200,000 extra of cash. Now, on the person on the left-hand side, you know, they're just going to pay their mortgage and we're just going to flash forward 5 years. And I'm going to pretend that you know, we're just going to say that property values only go up about 3% across the board for those 5 years, 3% a year. I know some places and some properties can do better, but I'm just, you know, with whatever might be coming up in the next few years, I want to stay pretty conservative. Normally you might put in like 5% if it were more of a bull market or more, depending on where you live, but we'll just stay with 3%. So anyways, $500,000 in 5 years, your asset now, if you're looking at the person on the left, you go down below, maybe draw a line to separate these numbers. You go down, your house is now worth $580,000. Congratulations, you didn't do anything. You know, house appreciated about $80,000 over the last 5 years. Now your mortgage, now again, I ran this at, you know, he had a 4.25% mortgage, you were 26 years into it. 5 years later, that $200,000 now went down to $176,500 and change. Which that means is that now, if you subtract the numbers, 580 minus 176, 500, you've got a net worth of about $403,500. So congratulations, you went from $300,000 net worth to over $400,000 in net worth. Now, the person on the right, the person that says they're going to invest it, they're going to take that $200,000, they're going to do some, you know, 20% down payments on some properties. So they buy a duplex and then some three single family homes. So they bought four properties. Well, that $200,000 bought them $1 million worth of properties. So now what's happening is you get $1 million. So, you know, I did this with my own notes. In year one, I scratched out the $200,000 and I put in $1 million for the asset, because that $200,000 just bought me $1 million of properties. Because I put $200,000 down on those properties, my liability on the other side is $800,000. So in year one, I have a $500,000 house, plus $1 million of investment properties, that's $1.5 million. I have also $400,000 on the house that I own. That's the liability, the mortgage, right? And then the other mortgages on the other properties is $800,000. Now you do the math, that's $1.2 million. 1.5 minus 1.2, you're still $300,000. Your net worth is exactly the same as it was before. Now people will freak out. They'll say, oh my gosh, I have so much debt. Yeah, but you have so much assets. You are now technically, at least on the asset column, you're a millionaire. You just went from hundreds of thousands now to over a million. So yeah, you have leveraged it, but now you've bought more. Now using the same thing, 3% appreciation on the asset column, what ends up happening? You end up having, well, about a little over 1.7 million. It's to be exact, your house, we're still went to 580, right? And in year five, your properties at 3%, they went up to about 1.16 million, you know, 1.159 to be exact. I have $1,159,274, but for easy sake, we'll say 1.16 million. We also have the 12,000 year of extra cash flow because those properties, you know, even if they only pulled off about 11% net return, cash on cash return, not talking about tax benefits, but just purely to say, all right, cash flow, well, that's 12,000 a year. It's about 1,850 a month, give or take. So, hey, we made an extra $1,000 a month. So remember, in year one, same net worth, but the thing that changed is we're making an extra $1,000 a month after that extra payment on the mortgage. So we make an 1,850 a month net cash flow, but mortgage payment was an extra 850 a month. So subtract that out and you have about 1,000 a month net profit. And technically, you're actually almost able to pay your entire mortgage payment with that because the mortgage payment was just over $1,900 a month. So now you actually have the cash flow to almost make your mortgage payment for you if you wanted to. With the appreciation in all those categories, right? And you remember that 12,000 year cash flow, assuming that we don't even raise rents, which by the way, you will raise rents, but we'll just assume maybe extra costs came out we didn't expect and things like that. Again, playing devil's advocate. So 60,000, you made 12,000 extra a year. For 5 years, that's $60,000 that you made in cash flow. So you just put that into a savings account. Ta-da. Actually, I'll put it in a 0% savings account. So all you have after 5 years from that is $60,000. So you have a $580,000 home, just like in the one on the left. You got $60,000 of cash. And now you've got properties worth about $1.16 million. Grand total is now $1.8 million in assets. Now we got the liability side, right? On the other side. You know, you have your home mortgage that got paid down to $361,790 after 5 years. The other mortgages, and the nice thing is your renters paid them for you, got paid down to $734,629. What's that total to be? Just under $1.1 million. So let's do the math. You know, rounding the numbers, $1.8 million on assets minus $1.1 million on the mortgage side gives you a total net worth of $700,000. So guess what? What do you have right now? You got about $300,000 more net worth in just 5 years than the person on the left. And you got at least, you know, again, if we didn't raise rents, at least $12,000 more a year in cash flow. You are in a much healthier spot. And technically, even by net worth standards, you're nearly to the point of being a millionaire already. You know, in the other situation, you're like, oh, I'm a 400,000-aire. And that's it. You see the point here is that leverage can be great, especially if you take that money. You're not just buying one property. Now, you could do that, but I usually recommend you split it up. You know, you try to put as low down payments as possible to create the max leverage possible. And that's where you get a much better ROI on your cash flow. You get a much better ROI on your net worth. Things work out better. And that's the point here, guys, is that debt can be used well if and only if you are a wise steward of the resources you're given. You take that money, you gamble it, you go throw it in some crazy investment that you think is awesome, but really most of us would look at it and shake our heads. Well, guess what? If you lose money, now you're in a worse spot. Now you're like, crap, well, I just lost that $200,000. Now I have a $500,000 home with a $400,000 mortgage. Now my net worth has dropped to $100,000, right? We don't want that to happen. You want to make sure you're doing it. This is why I actually think that using debt to buy real estate that you own and control is a great thing because you own and control it. Even if things go crazy in the markets, at least you call the shots. You put money with somebody else, you're just throwing money at them and they have all the control. Well, you've just increased your level of risk a little bit. Now, I get it. You throw your money into a 401k, IRA, or any kind of mutual fund, you're at the mercy of the markets there too, right? I wouldn't do that either. I would not take money out of my house and invest in the markets. By the way, I love to follow what banks do. Remember when we talk about thinking like a bank? Ask yourself, what would a bank loan money for? Will a bank loan you money to put in the stock market? The answer is no. Now, somebody might say, well, Chris, you can trade with margin. Yeah, but you know what? They have the full power to do a margin call because they know if you hit a certain price, they cash it all out, they take all their money back, and you're left with almost nothing. But real banks, they will not give you a dime to put in the stock market. So why should you? But you know what banks will give you money for? They will give you money for a business that makes sense. You know, for a business that seems to make sense, they'll give you business loans, won't they? They'll give you loans to buy properties. Why? Because they know there's value there, real value. It's not arbitrary numbers on a piece of paper or on a computer screen. You know, they will not loan you money for Bitcoin, but they will loan you money for real estate, for business. And think about any of those things. They will give you money for that. If they'll give money for that, maybe we should listen. Maybe that is a good thing to put money into. Maybe that's one thing that's actually worth putting in debt. They will sometimes give you money to consolidate your loans if it makes perfect sense and they know that you don't just need the money. You're just trying to put yourself in a healthier position. Guys, this is exactly what I teach you to do. This is exactly what I have my clients do. And when my clients get nervous, of course they're nervous because it completely rocks everything that they've been taught from a saver mentality, but it's not from a steward mentality. And that is the essential key there, is that how can you be the best steward of the resources you have? How can you take that money, that potential resource, that net worth, turn it into cash flow that actually can create that level of freedom that you need? For many of you, you have plenty of net worth, but you're asset rich and cash poor. For some of you, you don't even realize you have assets. You don't even realize you have net worth because you keep thinking you're so hyper-focused on trying to pay down that mortgage, for example, that you don't even realize that that equity could actually be working in your favor to pay your mortgage payment for you. You know, it's so cool when I can talk to somebody and say, wow, you know what? Just the cash flow we can make from the money we cash out of your mortgage, we can pay half the mortgage payment for you, or in some cases, pay more than your mortgage payment for you. Can you imagine how much better a position that puts you in compared to just trying to nickel and dime and scrimp and save everything you can? Guys, that is the difference. That is where there's wisdom behind this, is about stewardship. How can you be the best, wisest steward of the resources you have and turn it into something that's better? It's all about efficiency. It's all about creating more production, more cash flow, so it creates more options and more freedom for you. That's what it really comes down to. And yeah, guess what? That net worth, it does grow too. It actually grows faster because that cash flow increases. It builds your net worth faster. And don't you think that person that now has $700,000 of net worth, don't you think we're going to say, maybe it's time to sell off some of these properties, get the equity out, and do it again? Because hey, even if we can only get $400,000 of that extra equity back out of wherever we get it from, you know, from selling properties or whatnot. Well, guess what? That $300,000, maybe we could turn that to an extra $30,000 a year. And now the cash flow is up to $42,000. While person A, the person on the left, is still trying to figure out how to pay off that mortgage eventually. And they're so excited for that someday and maybe, you know, 15 to 20 years now that they'll be able to have that mortgage paid off so they can save $1,000 a month, which is about what it would save them. About 1,060 is what I calculated from that scenario. Whoop-de-doo, guys. We were already creating $1,000 a month from the beginning doing what we just did. You know, and now by year five, we can create over, you know, $40,000, $50,000 a year potentially. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the difference. So anyways, that's how it works, guys. That is, I mean, you're basically jumped into my brain. I took one little snapshot of something I might focus for a few seconds on in a situation and maybe not always explain perfectly to my clients. But if you get this, everything else makes sense there from this standpoint. So anyways, guys, I hope this is valuable for you. I hope this actually like broke it down and gives you a little bit more knowledge and power, because this whole reason I'm teaching this stuff is to empower you to create that freedom, to create that self-reliance, that ability to become financially independent and eventually financially free too. So I hope you take this information, use it. If you got questions, reach out to me. Chris@moneyripples.com. You also check out my website for my free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, Seven Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. That's there at moneyripples.com. Anyways, you make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.